Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe, acharei mot shnei bnei Aharon, bekorvatam lifnei Hashem vayamutu. Dot, dot, dot. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe lemor daber el kol adat bnei Yisrael v'yomarta alehem kidoshim tihyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Yes? Yes? Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is officially for Parshat Acharei Kedoshim, here in Israel. It's Parshat Tazria Metzorah this week in Chutz La'aretz. I'll review the explanation for that momentarily. But the show is really for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzma'ut. Recording. Yom Rivi'i, Wednesday, the third day of Iyar, 5772, corresponding to April 25th this year, is Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day for IDF soldiers who have died all the way from the beginning of statehood, even a little bit before, through the current time. And it is the eve of Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel Independence Day, which, well, I'll explain all of that coming up because it's all part of my opening remarks. First broadcast is probably going to be Yom Chamishi, Thursday, Yom HaAtzma'ut, but remember that I'm recording this when it's Yom HaZikaron, and I haven't figured out if I should fake a mood. Here it's difficult because right now it's Yom HaZikaron, tonight is Yom HaAtzma'ut, tomorrow is Yom HaAtzma'ut, Friday is the day that Yom HaAtzma'ut should be, but it was pulled back to Thursday, and Sfirat HaOmer resumes, and then there's Shabbat the next week, and I have no idea when you are listening to this show, so I can't really appropriately act out. If I knew this was broadcast only on one day, maybe I could hit the mood for that day, although that's not my style. And that's why there's not going to be any music now, and if you're listening to this on Yom HaAtzma'ut, chaval, too bad that there isn't, because there should be. But, as I said, this is not yet Yom HaAtzma'ut, and the rules and regulations of Sfirat HaOmer apply, as well as the mood of Yom HaZikaron. At least I could be clear about the chapter of Tehillim, which we say, since I go that by when I record it, regardless of when you're hearing it, because I'm saying it with Hashem's name, with God's name, as a prayer. So it's for now. Now is the afternoon on Wednesday, the eve of Erev Yom HaAtzma'ut, the minhag of those who follow the minhag, a custom, is not to say Tachanun, and therefore we do Psalm 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama Alot, Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'aretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael. Adonai Shomerecha, Adonai Tzilecha, Al Yad Yaminecha. Yomam Hashemesh Lo Yakeka, V'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. Acheinu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem, mitzara lirvacha, u'me'afelal ora, u'mishibud l'geula. Hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Okay, here's the story. And first of all, I have to say right up front, you are not going to hear an objective, all-encompassing presentation of the issues. You are definitely hearing a subjective point of view from me personally. I have a very strong feeling that I resonate together with the Arut Sheva philosophy, and if there are people from the organization of the OU, which also broadcasts this show, who don't exactly agree with me, then I say now that Torah Tidbits Audio, whoever or whatever it's connected to, is my show, and I am taking responsibility for what I say as my personal thoughts and feelings and opinions, and not representing anyone else. With that said, here's the story. The State of Israel was declared on May 14th, 1948, which corresponded to the Jewish date of the 5th, 5 Iyar, 5708. By the way, might as well mention it, that happens to have been 3 days after I was born, so you know how old I am if you know how old the State of Israel is, or if you know how to subtract 2012 minus 1948, or 5,772 minus 5,708. In any event, I've always related very much to the State of Israel and to Yom HaAtzmaut, but that's beside the point. The point is that the 5th of Iyar is observed as Yom HaAtzmaut, Israel Independence Day. That has a national flavor to it, national of Israel, obviously, and it has a religious flavor to it. And here's part of the rub. There are people in Israel and elsewhere who celebrate or commemorate or mark Yom HaAtzmaut as a national holiday, and they do not consider it to be a religious holiday, either because they're not religious, which means they look at Purim and Hanukkah the same way, or because they are religious, but they recognize the idea of a national independence day, an Israel independence day, as something that has to do with the country, but not necessarily viewing it in a religious way. There are people who definitely view this as a religious observance, and whatever other trimmings it has in the national picture is secondary to its religious nature. I said this was going to be subjective. I consider myself to be a religious Zionist. And on this topic of Yom HaAtzmaut, for me, it is first and foremost a day that God made, and we must sing praise and thank Him for it. That was a paraphrasing in English of the Pasuk from Hallel, Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem Nagila V'Nismacha Bo. And to me, if I don't have a falafel, if I don't have a barbecue, which in Israel is called a mangal, which is a Turkish word, anyway, and a national custom, if I don't see any of the inflatable hammers and baseball bats with the Israeli flag on them that people bop each other with on the head, and all kind of other things, the National Bible Contest, and many other Prize of Israel, which are all associated with Yom HaAtzmaut. To me, all of that takes second place to davening, praying, including the Psukei Dezimra of Shabbat and Yom Tov, including Oz Yashir verse by verse, including Hallel with a bracha in its proper place, including the reading of a portion of the prophet from Isaiah chapters 10 through 12, not at the beginning of 10, but towards the end, and without brachot, so it's not really a haftarah. Of course, tomorrow being Thursday, there's regular Torah reading and various other prayers which we will say in a festive atmosphere. To me, that is the number one way of observing, marking, commemorating, celebrating Yom Ha'atzma'ut. But there are people who don't do that. A lot of people who don't do that, for different reasons. But, Baruch Hashem, thank God, there are people who do it. Okay. Now, a long time ago, maybe as early as 1949 or 50, the rabbinate at the time realized that because Yom Ha'atzma'ut has a national celebration, there would be situations of celebrations and ceremonies which are not appropriate for Shabbat, not even appropriate for Friday because of the tendency to go late or the cleanup going late, and that would result in desecration of Shabbat. And the way I understand it, the rabbinate prevailed upon the Knesset, the Parliament of Israel, and the government to allow Yom Ha'atzma'ut, National Independence Day, Israel Independence Day, to be pulled back, preponed is my favorite word there, pulled back from Shabbat to Thursday, from Friday to Thursday, as it is this year. The 5th of Iyar can fall out on Shabbat, can fall out on Friday, which it does this year, and in both of those cases, Yom Ha'atzma'ut is celebrated on Thursday. That's as far as the national celebration. However, something else happened way back then, and I feel very, very warm towards the idea. The religious community, the religious Zionist community, said to the country, we're asking that Yom Ha'atzma'ut be moved to Thursday to avoid potential desecration of Shabbat on Friday or Shabbat, and we will go along with that move to Thursday in the religious observance of the day, even though that didn't have to move, for there's no danger in desecration of the Shabbat by having a festive prayer and saying Hallel. But the goal was a unity within the Jewish community here in Israel, and I think it is extremely important and praiseworthy that the religious community, religious Zionist community, went along with their request to move the national celebrations of Yom Ha'atzma'ut away from Shabbat. And they said, tell you what we're going to do, we're going to keep that day as a religious holiday as well. I think there's a tremendous sense of unity, or at least we're pointed in the right direction. So, if one person says Hallel and another person has a barbecue, and a lot of people do both, they're doing it on the same day. And that's the way it is, and that's why when it falls out on Shabbat, Hei'iyar, 5th of Iyar, falls out on Shabbat, or on Friday, Yom Ha'atzma'ut is observed full on Wednesday night, Thursday. When I was talking before about the davening in the morning, there's also a special tefillot, special prayers tonight, and we don't have to dwell upon that at the moment. Way, way more recently, like something like 2007, when Yom Ha'atzma'ut fell out on Monday, then there was another problem, the same kind of problem. Yom Ha'atzma'ut is preceded by the Memorial Day for IDF soldiers, and that would make it Sunday, and that would make it begin on Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night. There also, was the potential of desecration of Shabbat by people setting up for the night celebration or the night commemoration in the case of Yom HaZikaron, that it would encroach upon Shabbat in order to get Yom HaZikaron away from Shabbat. Yom HaAtzma'ut was postponed till Tuesday, and that's the way it is also. And the religious community went along with it and said, you, out of deference to Shabbat, which you don't even keep, many of you, you moved Yom HaAtzma'ut now, not just from Shabbat back to Thursday, Friday back to Thursday, but from Monday to Tuesday. We'll go along with it also, and Tuesday in those years becomes our day of Yom HaAtzma'ut. There is no us and them. People who celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut in Israel do it differently from each other, but they do it on the same day. And that's a very important thing. A number of years ago, it came to my attention that the Committee for the Preservation of Pure Haredism, whatever that is, objected to the Israel Center as being anti-Haredi. Haredi is the Hebrew term for what in English is usually translated as the ultra-Orthodox. I have a problem with any of these labels, and I'll try to indicate why. When I called up the Committee for the Preservation of Pure Haredism to ask them what's wrong with the Israel Center, they said three things. First two we don't have to mention. They dealt with certain people connected with the center who they felt were anti-Haredi, and that branded the Israel Center as anti-Haredi. But their third reason made me proud in a perverse way. And it said in Torah Tidbits one time that a Jew who does not thank God or does not see a reason to thank God for the establishment of the State of Israel is blind. And that is an anti-Haredi comment. This is what they told me. So that was their way of explaining why the Israel Center is, in their eyes, anti-Haredi. The fact of the matter is, and I wrote it very clearly, I think, in the lead tidbit of the hard copy this week, which was out a full day early because of Yom HaAtzma'ut, I said, I want to distinguish, and I'm going over this idea now, probably in different words. I want to distinguish between the principle of the thing and the details. Let's talk about the details and not push them away, but at least move them to the side for a moment. Do you say Hallel on Yom HaAtzma'ut? I say yes, and I say it. Do you make a bracha when you say it? I do, and I purposely go to a Beit Knesset, a shul, a synagogue, where they do. Are there people, religious people, who believe that we have to say thank you to God for the State of Israel, but don't feel that it is appropriate to say Hallel on Yom HaAtzma'ut? Yes. And those who say Hallel but don't feel it's appropriate to say it with a bracha? Yes, they exist also. But among those people, there is a common ground of recognizing that there is something to thank God for in the establishment of the State of Israel. But then you have a serious portion of the religious community who do not feel any debt of gratitude to God for the establishment of the State of Israel. They see it as a negative kind of thing. I don't have statistics on how many and how many, but it is a very bothersome kind of attitude, and I feel that it's much more serious than just a difference of opinion. I believe that the establishment of a Jewish state in the land of Israel, which happened in 1948, which opened the door to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, to Jews from all over the world to come without quotas, without discouragement, was sufficient is sufficient cause to look at the establishment of the State of Israel with joy and thank God for its existence. It's a lot more than that, but that's a starting point. It is a Jewish state. Is it a perfect Jewish state? No, not yet. Can it be better? For sure. Are there problems? Yes, there are. But the bottom line fact is we're dealing with a Jewish state whose day of rest, national day of rest, is Shabbat, where kashrut is the norm rather than the exception to the rule, where doors have mezuzahs on the doorpost, whether religious people work there or live there or shop there or not, where the buses don't run on Shabbat in many places, in most places, where the buses in Yerushalayim at least say Chag Sameach on a holiday, where the buses and trains have signs right out of the Torah, which say, Mipnei Seva Takum, stand up before the elderly, give your seat to an older person. Where there are so many little things and so many big things that I couldn't do it justice even if I organized what to say first, what to say second, and how much to say it. Suffice it to say, and of course it is enough for me to say it for those people who agree with me, and nothing I don't think will be able to convince the people who don't agree with me. I see the establishment of the Jewish state of Israel, with all of its flaws and with all of its warts, is something to smile about and to turn to God and say, thank you, God, for doing this. That there were founding fathers of the state of Israel who were not religious, who were anti-religious, is a truth, but it does not take away from the gratitude we owe God and we owe those people for helping establish this state of Israel. Would it be better in my eyes if there were more religious people involved in the government, if there were more religious soldiers in the army, if there were more religious people around the world who spoke in favor of the state of Israel and encouraged Aliyah and came on Aliyah? Of course. I say of course, but I don't really remember the beginning of the sentence. It was a long one. But the point is, we have a lot to say thank you for. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Yom HaAtzmaut, we'll say, Shabbat Parshat Acharei Kedoshim, here in Israel, Tazria Metzora in Chutz Laretz. Not going to get to too much of the Parsha this week again, but I want to go back to where we're up to. So what I'm basically presenting here is the details aside, not that they're not important, but the principle. Do you see the establishment of the State of Israel as something to say thank you to God for? Some say yes, some say no, some sit on the fence, they're not sure. From my perspective, there is ample cause to celebrate the day, to say Hallel on the day, to say the other special tefillot, the other special prayers, to suspend the mournful practices of the Omer. Just throw another thing into the pot here. There's a famous story about Rav Herzog, the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel, where he was asked by a soldier if he could get married on Yom HaAtzmaut. Yom HaAtzmaut being in the middle of the Omer, where the practice is not to have weddings. Rav Herzog said yes. The fellow said, really? And he said, no. So he said, I don't understand. You said yes, and then you said no. Which is it? I said, you asked me if you could get married on Yom HaAtzmaut, and I gave you what I believe is the correct answer, yes. You doubted that answer by saying, really? then for you the answer is no, because you do not see Yom HaAtzmaut as the festive day that it should be. Again, not drawing any conclusions, whatever, that exists. I believe with all my heart that a person who does not feel there is something to thank God for in Yom HaAtzmaut, in the establishment of the State of Israel, is retarding, holding back the Geula process. That's a bold statement, and I say it with full heart and full mind. I believe that God is testing us. He gives us such a beautiful gift of the establishment of the Jewish State of Israel, and he wants to see how thankful we are for this step. It's not the whole thing, it's a step. When he sees people saying thank you, I believe he's happy, so to speak. When he sees people adamantly refusing to recognize the greatness of the establishment of the State of Israel because of all of its flaws and warts, then I believe God is unhappy, so to speak, that we can't appreciate less than perfect. It's the old half-filled glass or half-empty glass, and it's a matter of how you look at it. I've always said, and I'll say it again, to me what can summarize my whole attitude is the official exchange of greetings for Yom HaAtzmaut. I don't know who formulated this, but I believe it says a lot. One says to his fellow, Moadim L'Simcha, happy holiday, and the other responds with L'Geula Shlema, to the complete redemption. A healthy recognition that this is not the realization of the age-old dream, but rather a step in the proper direction, but rather the beginning of the flowering of our redemption, as the expression in Hebrew in the prayer for the State of Israel goes. That is a healthy recognition when you say we've come a long way, but there's a long way to go. We thank God for what we have, we want more, and we're willing to work towards more. I see it not only in that greeting, but there's part of the prayer for the nighttime of Yom HaAtzmaut that expresses the idea. I see it as the choice of the Haftarah reading, without a bracha, of Yom HaAtzmaut morning. Od Hayom Benov La'amod is the Haftarah of the eighth day of Pesach. We don't have an eighth day of Pesach. We don't read that Haftarah. But it is custom made for both the end of Pesach and for Yom HaAtzmaut. In the end of Pesach, just like at the end of the Seder, we sing Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya, recognizing that Yetziat Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, is a step in the long, long process of the Geula Shlema, the complete redemption. And we recognize it with a cup of Eliyahu, and we recognize it in the Song of Dayenu, and we recognize it with Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya, and we recognize it with several other of the end of the Haggadah's songs. We recognize it in the Bracha of Geula before the second cup. We recognize that this is a major significant step in that direction, but there's more to come. That Haftarah, especially because we don't read it here on Pesach, was borrowed to be read on Yom HaAtzmaut morning. It speaks there of a Geula Shlema, a complete redemption. And it's as if we recognize, yes, we're happy for the State of Israel, but yes, we also recognize that there's a lot more that we hope and pray for and work towards. To me, a very, very healthy balance. I guess I am developing, well, I don't know if that's the right word, a sort of level of intolerance to those people who don't see it. My brother had an experience where he gave a ride to a yeshiva bacher from Yerushalayim towards Bnei Brak. And they were talking about the state of Israel, and my brother made a comment about how much Torah is taught and learned in Israel today, thanks to the government of Israel. And the guy said, no, not thanks to the government, in spite of the government. My brother pulled the car over to the side of the highway and let the guy out. So there's that. There's people who can't get past this non-religious, anti-religious flavor that the early founding of the state had, and recognize God could work like that also. If this was meant to be the good thing that it is, and the better thing that it will be, in Yirtzeh Hashem, then it could come about in this way as well. And whose fault is it that we didn't have more religious, top-notch people in the founding of the state of Israel? It's our fault, the religious community. Where were we? Some of us were there, but not everybody. And I would say not the big ones, and not most. So that's part of this story also. Now, a corollary, maybe, to all of the above, is Tzahal, Tzava Hagana LiYisrael, the Israel Defense Force. The Jewish Army, the Israeli Army, is a necessity and has proven to be a very beneficial body in, unfortunately, the many wars that we have had. Does it have its problems? Yes, it does, and its warts. Not the point. The point is, how do we respond? How do we relate to an army in Israel? Many of us go into the army, and our children either do army service or national service, both tantamount to volunteering. The army service is required, but there are ways that people get exemptions. National service is optional, and kol hakavod to the many, many, many girls who opt to do national service, even though some of their friends decide to get a job and earn some money, and far more than the Sherut Lumi girl will, but there's a sense of responsibility. It is well known that a major section of the ultra-Orthodox community do not do army service. Certainly not in the essential years of a soldier's life, and not while the fellows are studying Torah in yeshivot. And there has been, until now, an exemption, or let's call it an indefinite deferment of army service, for those who learn in yeshivot. What's very interesting is the key person in bringing about the exemption of yeshiva students from army service was none other than David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, also the third prime minister of Israel, and one of the founding fathers of the state, not known for his religious observance, but nonetheless he recognized the value of Torah study and felt that yeshiva boys should have an exemption. The numbers that took the exemption in his day And compared with the numbers today, I don't know if he would have the same attitude. And that's why the topic gets reviewed all the time. And that's why I would like to make another statement from the bottom of my heart, as the expression goes. And that is, I don't believe there should be a widespread exemption from army service because of Torah learning. The valid excuses to not go into army service from the Torah's point of view included various situations, none of which specifically mention Torah learning, but they do mention building a house and not yet living in it, and planting a vineyard and not yet reaping from it, and betrothing a woman and not yet marrying her, and a very broad category of people who were afraid to serve in the Jewish army. All of the above went for optional kind of battles and wars. Milchemet Reshut, as it's called. Milchemet Mitzvah. Obligatory wars, the ones commanded by the Torah to undertake, plus, and this is a very important point, battles of defense of the Jewish population in the land of Israel, are considered milchemet mitzvah, obligatory wars, and no one is exempt from such wars. The Chatan, who was given a year deferment under normal circumstances, leaves his chuppah and goes to fight. Translate that and modernize that for today. No one should have an exemption, but should be allowed to choose the framework with which to enter the army, be it the Hesder programs or the Mechina and other arrangements, and now the Nachal Haredi. And that's flexible. There could be a lot of different ways that fellows can continue their Torah study and be a part of the IDF, or at least Sheirut Le'umi. Girls should not take their exemptions from Sheirut Le'umi, but they should actively pursue some kind of national service. I believe it's the right thing to do, and I believe that it comes with an extra dimension. And that extra dimension is the perception of the religious community by the wider general population of Israel. I had an experience in the army where for a number of days I was together with some non-religious fellow, and the whole first day we didn't talk. The second day we schmoozed, and it came to light that he needed to sort of be comfortable that we lived in the same world, that we had what to talk about. He had a very negative attitude towards religious people because he perceived them as shunning their military obligation, did not understand and appreciate what it means to sit in yeshiva and learn all day, did not accept the notion of that too is an important part of the protection of the people of Israel, and only looked with resentment, and more than resentment, with a lowering of respect and esteem for religious people and for Torah. That is a classically defined desecration of God's name, Chilul Hashem. And here we're involved with another concept. The concept which we learn from the Torah is that a person must behave in this world so that he is clean in God's eyes and in the eyes of his fellows. It's not enough to say, I am doing the right thing. If it's perceived that you're not doing the right thing, that's bad. And we have to behave in such a way where less religious people and non-religious people and even anti-religious people will reluctantly and grudgingly say, he's a good person. Because look what he's doing. And there's a practical side of it. Guys who do miluim, reserve duty, for years and years and years know that if more people would join the army, and they read that as if religious people would join the army, remember that many do, but many don't, then their burden of how many days of miluim and how many years they have to continue year after year doing miluim would drop, and they would feel that they're sharing the burden with other people rather than resenting the other people for not sharing their burden. I believe it's similar with women on the Sheirut Lumi angle. And I believe that this potential desecration of God's name combines with the essential correctness, rightness, justifiableness, whatever, of serving in the army or serving national service is a significant step towards unity within the Jewish people and correcting this negative feeling. I've told this story before, but maybe not recently. One day, I was called for a three-day miluim to help a brigade base prepare for an exercise. And after 2 days, the base commander comes to me and says, I have a favor to ask. You don't have to say yes. You're not obligated to say yes, even though I am a superior officer. But I really need a favor. Instead of coming tomorrow, come next Tuesday, because I could really use you then. I said, okay. He said, what? I said, you asked me something, and I said, okay. He said, but you didn't argue with me. You didn't hesitate. You didn't give me that feeling that it's totally disruptive to your life and you don't want to say yes. You said yes right away. I said, let me tell you something. I was born in 1948, and one time when I was on Har Herzl, the main military cemetery in Jerusalem, I was wandering among the gravestones, and I was struck by one grave of a boy, I don't even remember his name, which I really should go back and find it, who was born on the same day that I was. And this I'm telling the base commander. I said, I grew up in the United States, and when I was 19 during the Six-Day War, I volunteered to come to Israel to help out in civilian life so that men who were called up to Miluim would be able to continue their functioning businesses or whatever. I never made it that year because the war broke out and flights were canceled. But I grew up in the United States. This fellow grew up in Israel, and he died in battle for his country. I said, you asked me to shift my Miluim from tomorrow to one day next week. This boy, born exactly on the same day that I was, gave up his life. I should hesitate. I should say no. The base commander started to cry. That, I believe, was a little bit of a Kiddush Hashem, and we could use that much, much more than the opposite. We have an obligation to our fellow Jews in Israel. I'm talking about we, the religious community, who live in Israel, to serve in the army and to do national service and at least carry our own weight so that we are not resented and, most importantly, our religiousness is not devalued in the eyes of people, but rather the opposite. When people see that religious fellows take their army service seriously, when they are proportionally more of the officers in the army than the other populations, it becomes a sanctification of God's name rather than the opposite. I don't believe that exemption is warranted or beneficial in our situation, where we are maintaining and training an army to save the lives and the life of the Jewish people in Israel and all over the world. There should not be any exemption for that, and no one should think I am above that. Everyone should participate. On that note, I will wish you a Moadim L'Simcha, L'Geula Shleima, and then Shabbat Shalom, and then L'Hishtameah.